Welcome back to the Syncretist Society, everyone. I'm Alex Corey with CultivatedChange.com, and here as always with Danielle Rodenroth of SoulMapping.life. As an update from the Gardenstead, I'm going to start calling it, it is officially happy belated spring, day late, and we have a couple projects going on in the garden outside, put in a couple new beds, and this year I have even less time than I did last year, so I am experimenting with a combination of permaculture, sheet mulching for the most part, and market gardening style. So still doing some quick, nutritious crops and trying to get as much weed prevention and moisture retention as possible. I'll put a link to the garden video I just put up down below for anyone interested in what we're doing outside as we go. And for our beautiful four drop today, these are a combination of Rambo and Red Arrow microgreens. I'll also put a link below for anyone who's interested in growing microgreens. It's way easier than doing anything outside and is way quicker. So if you need some quick nutrition, doing that. And sorry for all you audio listeners, but we do have some seed potatoes going in the ground today. We got a red, a gold, and a blue. And we'll give you updates as they go. And I'll turn it over to Danielle.
Sweet. Yeah, I just tried one of those. It's radish, right?
It's very radish.
It's bitter. I like the peas and the...
I know.
What, I like the broccoli and the...
You like everything except radish.
I'm not a huge fan of the bitter.
Right. You don't like radish. Radish and arugula and...
I can still taste it, in my mouth.
Yeah, I told you not... Anyway, those are not your favorite.
Yeah, I am excited about the garden, though.
To each their own.
Yeah, I know,
right? Yeah, don't eat the radishes. I'm growing this for everyone else.
Yes.
Can have everything else.
Well, last year we just gave bags away to people.
That's going to happen again.
Yes, yeah. It was a lot of radishes.
It's a good way to build social equity.
Yes, true. Yeah, so today we're going to talk about really transforming darkness into light. There's a lot of programs in spirituality around being light workers and enlightenment and, just being the light and all of that. So I've been editing some videos for our program, and it's been really fun and challenging to learn all of that. But one of the videos I was editing today was about the macro mechanics and neutrinos and, how everything is mechanical. So we can kind of bring that down to a micro level where we can understand that pretty much everything that happens, interactions with people, things that are happening in our life, all of it is code and mechanical. So we can kind of take that first step to seeing things as non-personal. Mm. We can still have emotions around things, but not to make emotional decisions and things like that. So especially if there's anything difficult or if you're in a melancholy, right? You're in a mutation, in a chemical space, or in an emotional wave, or you're just having a hard time, whatever it is, we want to kind of get deeper into that feeling, right? And go deeper into the darkness in order to extract the light, right? So it's not about avoiding all the dark things or spiritual bypassing, or not stating boundaries or things like that. But even in the readings I do, a lot of the times when we talk about things that are difficult, it's that's your key right there. That is what I call everyone's piece of pie. We each have a piece of pie that we have to eat in our life, that's how am I going to eat this thing? But basically we have to digest it and bring it into us. So it's that darkness, it's whatever we're dealing with, the difficulties, the things we hate about ourselves, the self-consciousness or things we don't like about others. Because when we come into human design, it's all about self-acceptance, right? Especially the things that we don't like. But it's also acceptance of others and how they are. It doesn't mean that we have to have them close in our geometry, right? So if it doesn't really fit or it's not correct or it's look, this person on my fractal, on my timeline, the conditioning that I'm getting is taking me out of my authority, right? So that's really, especially the first 7 years of human design, when we look at beyond the strategy and authority and we look at the white centers, right, which is where we're receiving this other energy and information from others, we're able to see during that 7 year period who's correct for us and who's not, right? It's a 7 year period. So that's why you really want to get in tune with those not self centers. And then after that 7 year period, then you can start to really use those centers where you're getting conditioning as wisdom, right? Mm. So this is the alchemy, transforming the darkness into light. Mm. And it actually becomes a teaching so that, you know, even the distortions, and we've talked about the binary consciousness, the biverse, the duality, right, of life, the darkness is necessary to show us, like, what the light actually is, what the truth is. So we're not really trying to get rid of darkness or trying to, like, avoid it. And a lot of our not self decisions come from trying to avoid pain, discomfort, you know, these types of things, you know, and conditioning and all of that. And Alex, you brought up a good point when we, right before we got on here, about conditioning, because a lot of times we like conditioning, actually. Some of it is, oh, well, this worked for me in the past. Yeah. I got success from this. You know, and there's all different ways that conditioning can come in that, like, we become addicted to. Yeah. So even people have, like, an undefined root as one example, right? Which I have it defined, you have it undefined, lots of people have it either way. But one of the addictions can be overworking or, like, adrenaline or coffee. you called me on the mac and cheese. So, you know, yeah. All right, all right. So, no, just kidding.
This is not coffee, by the way. It's matcha. It's matcha.
Yeah, so we can become addicted to, like, pressure, right, if it's the root. Yeah. So, for example, how to transform that darkness into light, if you have the undefined root, is to start to examine what that pressure feels like in the body, and don't let the mind just automatically make it move you, right? You want to see what that feels like in the body and let it, like, pass through you, right? You're going to feel stress either from lack of resources or lack of time. That's where the root pressure comes from, which is actually an adrenaline rush.
You're just describing me, basically.
It's a lot of people. It's just an easy example.
It is easy. Yeah.
So, you know, it's adrenaline. It's addiction to chemicals. Yep. So the conditioning from certain things in our life can create a chemical addiction, like, in the body. And then even things that we might not like emotional ups and downs, you know, some people get into, like, abusive relationships or just emotionally toxic. And again, it's not personal. It's just the codes and the dynamics. So we can even become addicted to, like, negative emotions and drama or things that create this nervous system shot of energy, right?
If you're getting that, you're going to get a dopamine hit. And dopamine is the addiction chemical.
Yeah. So,
but it's, I was wondering why dopamine functioned the way it did, because we only hear about it in terms of addiction.
Right.
And it's released whenever your brain is trying to reward you traditionally for finding food, sex, shelter. So your main survival things. If you, it ingrains that experience, that emotion, everything you just went through, deep into your conscious and unconscious so that you can replicate that and not die in the future. So if you just had a successful hunt or found a water source, something like that, burst of positive emotion, dopamine floods, so you will now remember that. So most things have a, this is an intelligent design facet to them.
Right.
Which explains, I mean, almost everything hijacks that, and it's hard to not constantly bring that into your day-to-day and just ride an addiction wave. Like, their entire program is to just desensitize yourself from dopamine.
Wow.
Because it's so powerful, because it kind of controls you if you're not aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the body itself is taking on the conditioning. Yep. Right. And now the body, you're also fighting the form, you know, the body, and even, like, the parasites and all that kind of stuff. We know that it can hijack and even, like, control the mind.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, you know, one of the first steps when we're going into, like, this darkness and dealing with our struggles, dealing with the things that are difficult, you know, is just to, like, allow it, right? Allow it to be, and just first be aware and just watch it, right? Not try to do anything, but just having that awareness rather than trying to avoid it or trying to, like, distract yourself or shut off. And even if you are distracting yourself, right? So this is how the alchemy works for, like, reprogramming the mind. If you're distracting yourself, catch yourself in that, right? Be like, okay, I'm distracting myself, and try to bring yourself back to what you're feeling. You don't have to like it. You can hate it. It can be like, oh, I wish this was different, you know? And even, like, Richard Rudd, who he created the Gene Keys, right? And he studied under Raw, and the Gene Keys is a great system as well for developing consciousness through a specific pathway. But he talks a lot about the allowing and then accepting and then finally embracing, yeah. right, the shadows. And I did take a look really quick at the solar transit, the sun, where it is on in the gates right now, and it's on the 25. So we picked the topic, and I was like, let's talk about how nothing's personal and transforming darkness into light, right? And then I looked at the transits, and I was like, oh, the sun's on the 25, which the 25 is unconditional love. It's acceptance. It's innocence, right, which is the key to, you know, love on the planet. That's what they say with this gate, right? It has the myth of the sacred wound. The shadow is called constriction, right? So if you can think of a wound being wound, right? It's even spelled the same. Yeah. The constriction in the body happens. So, you know, we want to start to see where that is in us, where we're getting tense and constricted, and then start to see what that background program is. Maybe there's like not even a mental thing. It's just like a physical state, right? Where your body's just like tense and all of that.
When you say shadow,
yeah,
you mean the reciprocal of, correct? The other side of it.
Yeah, the shadow is the same thing as the gift and the city, right? So all of these codes, the angles, the numbers, the gates, the I Ching, the zodiac signs, they're all angles of how we receive the information, and it's how we digest it, right? So it's coming into us. So the shadow is just a different frequency right. of how we're taking it in. And it comes from victim consciousness. So it's either repressed in, like we turn that shadow inwards, or we put it outwards, right? And we see it in others. So it's reactive. And a lot of times the shadows are showing us like what we're not dealing with. Right. So if we see something in others that like we can't tolerate.
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the way that we're getting to look at it still, yep. you know, and all of us have all the shadows. Right. This is part of the human experience. This is why we're eating the piece of pie, because we're all digesting the information and taking it in. It's just these codes help us to see like what things actually are, like, oh, that's what this thing is. Right. So then we can be aware, we can allow it, we can eventually accept it and then embrace it wherever we are, right? Whatever, if we're in the mud and we're like not digesting correctly with the codes and life and all of that, you know, there's always a way to kind of bring it back, to accept it, to see, okay, maybe I don't like it. I don't like how this person did that or why they said that. Or, you know, again, that's victim consciousness though, right? So that's why the first thing what we always say is nothing is personal. Right? You still need to act accordingly. Like, don't just let people treat you like shit. But, you know, communicate what you're experiencing. Hey, this is not okay with me. This is like a boundary. You know, this conditioning is too much, right?
Right. So, let me clarify one thing, because I'm sure the transcription will pick up city, yes. not city. So,
yeah.
S-I-D-H-I?
Yeah, S-I-D-D-H-I.
Two D's. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not city, because I'm sure the transcription will pull up city, yeah. and people will be like, what? Yeah, yep. completely different thing. Other thing is, the integration of the shadow is one of the archetypes. Carl Jung harps yeah. on that. Any Jungian or clinical psychologist, theoretical psychologist that is fascinated by the human condition will end up touching on that archetype, which right. is you cannot be a full person without integrating your shadow.
Right.
So it's kind of like being, the good analogy that I've found is you don't want to be helpless. So good person like Bunny, that's yeah. not what you want. You want to be a formidable, dangerous, in your power person with your dark half, so to speak, integrated and completely under control, instead of never having been exposed to that and then having it just crush you at some point.
Right,
which
right.
is what a lot of the I dealt with that, because I didn't grow up with an active masculine figure, so there was no real force to make me deal with some of the grimier, darker, more physical aspects, the real masculine aspects, mm-hmm. which is why usually a confrontation practice or something for men to sort of help them integrate their threatening monster side and keep it under wraps, so that they're a more whole person instead of having something horrible get presented later on when they're unaware.
Right. And then that trauma and the yep. chemicals take over.
Right.
Well, it's interesting, too, what you're bringing up with, like, your upbringing, you know, because even for myself and probably all of us, you know, there's things in our childhood that we're like, God, why did that happen? Like, that was shitty. You know, and these codes have helped me come to terms with a lot of that, too, because even our upbringing, you know, with you having the cross of the Sphinx, mm-hmm. and which is all about direction, you know, it's all like that masculine energy. Yeah. But then you're a quadrite, you know, which is very receptive and flowy and creative. You know, that was probably also actually part of, like, what you needed, like, the conditions to mm-hmm. bring you into, like, okay, here's your cross. You know, this is what you're going to be doing. And, you know, the cross takes over. That's what they say when you
it's a good phrase.
Follow your strategy and authority and you align truly on it. It's no longer that, like, emotional pull to something or conditioning or whatever it is. It's like, okay, that, like, your life is just starting to bring all of that. So yeah, with the childhood stuff, the trauma, you know, everyone doing spiritual bypassing or just negating, and we aren't able to get our needs met or put boundaries or communicate correctly, right? We might just withhold.
Yeah.
Right. And bury it in, which causes a lot of physical and emotional issues and all of that. You know, by going deeper into that and just being honest, you know, and being as transparent as you can be and trying to make it impersonal, right? Like where we're not like blaming, shaming, or guilting, but kind of be like, okay, this is what I'm experiencing. And if we are blaming, shaming, or guilting, okay, we can like catch ourselves on that, you know, and feel through that. 'Cause that is one of the greatest things that I've learned with this is that nothing is personal.
Right.
Right. So it makes making decisions a lot easier because it's like, okay, this isn't personal. They might take it personal.
Probably.
You know?
Chances are.
Yeah.
Well, because most people take things personally, or that might be where a tone comes in. You have to be an extremely good communicator if you're going to do it that way. Because if you did it without the explanation, 100% someone would. Most people, I think, take things fairly personally.
Yeah.
If you're face-to-face,
yeah.
If it's someone random on the internet, obviously, if you take that personally, it's going to be a rough time for you.
Yeah.
But if they're face-to-face and there's an energy interaction, it probably is going to feel personal.
Right.
So that's an extra step to try to remind yourself of that every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if I'll ever get to do a video about this, but I have had to make some like pretty difficult decisions that were like, whoa, lately. And you know, my mind kept trying to rationalize emotionally because my heart was getting into it. And, like, I was the one that was, like, feeling bad, you know. And I kept telling myself, like, look, this is what's right. You know, this is what's correct. This is what I need to do. This is what my authority says, you know. So the emotional aspect of things, especially whether it's darkness or we're dealing with something that we're really enjoying, you know, we have to look at that conditioning and say, okay, but is this actually correct for me? Just because something gave you success or because you accomplished something or you, you know, got a lot of money for this or that or whatever the mind rationalizes for why we should keep doing something, you know, if it's draining us, if you're a generator and you're dissatisfied, you're frustrated, right, with the process, whether it be your work or you're trying to write a book and you don't like the process of writing the book, you know, but you really want the book, right? This is not correct. Right. Mm-hmm. Even though you may have written books in the past, but you struggled through it. This is what we're really getting to because every single moment, right, is an opportunity for our true purpose, our consciousness, our, you know, we're living it all the time. Right. We're not finding our purpose. Right? We're not going to go out there and find it. It's here, like right now, every single second you're living your purpose and we can have access to that every moment. You know, are we in the truth? Are we in like what we're really digesting and taking in and knowing ourselves from that, that's your purpose, is to know yourself, to right. know what's correct for you and who you really are, and then to be able to navigate the darkness, right? We are extractors of light, but the darkness is the food, right, that we're taking in. So I'm super Scorpio, so always diving into the pits of hell.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
So that's, what's the Jungian quote? You always have to submerge into the depths to rescue your father, which is you have to go down into the pits of hell to find everything that served your culture in the past and bring it back up to the surface to integrate it into modern times and then transmute it to move forward.
Right.
So you, and I think it was the line between, the line down the human heart. I'm going to butcher it. Anyways, hell is always there, right? And it's, you have to deal with it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to me later.
Yeah, no, I think I know what you're talking about. And that's exactly, you know, what we're trying to describe here is like, you know, can we dive deeper into the darkness? Yes, scorpionic, you know. Let's see what's under all of that, you know, trying to uncover everything. And by releasing that, you know, communicating or taking a correct action for yourself, you know. And this is something that I've had a really hard time dealing with myself. I was, like, putting myself first, you know. I have a tendency to want to nurture people and do lots of stuff. And I always tend to put myself last, which is also a trauma response. Plus, it's, like, from some of my codes. It's all part of my purpose. And, you know, to realize for myself, you know, in those moments that, yes, putting yourself first, being selfish.
I was going to say, that's a societal conditioning of stop being selfish. And you're like, well, I need the energy first. Like,
right.
You can't give everything away because you're going to get hyper bitter and
adrenal
fatigue, for one, which is what happens to me.
Yeah, exactly. And even with, like, parents and their kids, you know, because I get that
scenario
a lot. But, like, what about my kids? And I'm like, look, if you are a parent and you're living your full life, you're living your full purpose, right? Because your child is on its own path too, right? Is that the best thing you can do for your child is for you to be your full self, you know, and live your full life. And yeah, you're still going to take care of them. You're still going to do what's best for them. But, you know, if it's completely taking you out of your authority, you're creating distortion everywhere too, you know? So, yeah.
Well, and if you're a parent, and I have a number of women in my life whose mothers have used the "I gave up so much for you,"
right,
when they were in their early 20s, or the women who I know are probably now, well, early 30s, late 20s, and that's, I don't think, you never tell your kid that,
right?
A, there was nothing they could do, and so that's a choice that you didn't, you gave up your full life because you thought you had to provide some level of expectation. So that creates a whole bunch of lifelong bitterness, which takes, it's taken a decade for these people to work through. It's not fun to watch.
Yeah.
That's a serious trauma.
Yeah, it is. And it's, like, interesting too. We'll probably do a call on that about, like, bringing children into the world, you know, and how that's even genetic and it's coded and there are only certain matches. Like, so it goes into infertility and, like, how all of that is actually, like, genetic and and things like that. But
plus all the other factors that we get to deal with for infertility. Just industry from the last 70 years up to almost everything hits the endocrine system. Almost everything affects reproductive.
Yeah.
Any toxin, any heavy energetic, it's one of the most sensitive systems. If you fast too much, especially for a woman, your cycle will mess up because your body senses that it's not a good time. So anything
hits your reproductive,
it's the touchiest system because it's, it takes so much energy just to maintain.
Yeah, definitely. We'll probably do some calls like on sex and all that stuff too, because it's all, everything is related and we can look at it through these codes. So yeah, just, you know, for this week, I guess, kind of look at what darkness or what struggles or depression or things that we're dealing with, things that we believe are too hard, or what's the story behind those things? Like, what is our self-talk and how we are feeling around it? We're going to need to do a call on frequency.
Yes,
that was one of the other topics we wanted
to
talk about.
Oh, actually, I'm going to do that briefly. So you mentioned mindful awareness before.
Yeah.
And I did a video on this as a, we always talk about be aware of.
Yeah.
As if everyone has had some study in a mindful awareness or a meditative practice where you're able to watch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a learned skill.
Right.
Not everyone has it. So you can be, it's hard to do that if you're in the heat of the moment. You have neurotransmitters firing and adrenaline pumping, like you said. Very hard to watch it in the moment. But if you treat mindful awareness, so a meditative practice, or just something where you're still, even 5 minutes, and you're able to just watch what's floating in your brain, just chores will come and go, but eventually things will quieten down, and eventually you'll be okay at just recognizing feelings that pop up and just watching. And then you can integrate that into your day whenever you have less conscious energy to focus on that practice. It's kind of like just any movement practice. You have to do it a lot initially to get the reps in, so to speak.
Right, the muscle memory.
Yeah, get the brain memory so that you don't have to spend conscious energy on that. In your day-to-day, whenever something happens, you almost keep a log of it, and then after you can examine, and it'll be there for you to pick apart so you can figure out what hit you, what you could have done better, all the dynamics, and that's what a journal's for, basically.
Yeah, you can unpack it.
You can unpack it, and you have to unpack it.
Right.
If you want to end up transmuting it at all.
Yeah.
Especially because the shadow usually hits you hard. You will notice it more. So there's always more to unpack. Most people don't notice the light and fluffy because things are going well and they're happy.
Right.
But if you use that as comparison or contrast mechanism, there's a lot to unpack and more to unpack in the shadow, right? That's where the growth happens.
Right.
No one grows if it's light and fluffy all the time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. That kind of brings something else up too. We could do a call on in the future, how the profile numbers, right? So everyone stores memory different. Which is pretty cool. And how we store like emotions.
Give me an example.
Like the three can be pessimistic, right? The six can be optimistic, and there's different ways that the memory gets stored per the profile. Okay. So that might even be interesting to kind of bring that in.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, it would.
Depending on like the perspective and how the mind works and all of that for each profile.
Right.
It's just really interesting. I don't really think about it that much with like, oh, people process differently with how they store their memories, or they're not.
Yeah.
For me, having the 10.6 in detriment twice, which is self-consciousness, it's like the most self-conscious. Mm-hmm. Then I have the gate of arrogance, so don't worry about it. 31.2.
Uh-huh.
That's a real funny cosmic joke. The self-consciousness is conscious of self, right? Which can lead to that other spectrum of like, what we traditionally think of like self-conscious, but it can also be like where sometimes I'm like overly analyzing, every moment, every second. And I realize most people don't do that,
I think a lot of people do that. A lot of people are high in, that's a psychological trait just called neuroticism.
Right.
Women have it more because they have to for protecting
kids,
a kid. But a lot of guys, I have that. I'm just, it's very hard to even pull away for a minute. Forest exposure will do that, and I'll stop analyzing in the moment. If I'm just walking out in the sunshine, then my brain will quiet down. Also after orgasm, that's probably the only time most people who don't have a rich lifestyle, so to speak, will notice that, especially guys. Nothing. Just not analyzing, not picking, not tinkering, not backwards engineering, nothing. It's a form of altered consciousness.
Right, it's like
bliss
state.
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it goes away.
Right.
It is bliss
right.
state, yeah.
Yeah, it is super interesting. We'll probably do some calls on that, how memory is stored for different types and different profiles, and just kind of looking more into that. Just watch the darkness, watch how your self-talk is. We'll do a call on frequency because even myself, right? Like I dive deep into this stuff. I do it every day. I'm doing readings and all that, but I still get deep into like darkness, it's part of being a consciousness explorer. You have to like feel purposeless because to find the purpose, right?
Yeah.
Raising your frequency is not just like a spiritual term. As you're doing this mindfulness practice, like see what your body is feeling like, are you in that literally lower state of frequency? And how can we accept that, right, and allow that and see how that can be something that leads you to a consciousness extraction, because that is where the gold is, right? So
that's where the gold is, yeah. That's where the treasure, that's the dragon in myth. So you have to go in, and to be able to find the gold, you got to go battle the monster, and the monster is usually your unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. So, as you guys know, we've talked about the Syncretist Initiation Training and the programs that we've been putting together. So we've sent out emails. If you're not on the email list, let us know if you would like more information on that. Next Friday, which is the 25th, I guess it's this Friday. That always confuses me. Whatever. So this Friday is going to be like a soft opening. So the people who have signed up, there are going to be classes and material and things that we've already put together. And then the actual training itself starts on the 8th of April. If you're not able to make a live class, that's okay because it is recorded. There's going to be other pre-recorded videos, articles, live classes. There's a Facebook group. There's a Telegram group.
Booklist.
Yeah, there's lots of content. Yeah. Probably maybe too much content.
Well, it touches everything. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever aspect interests and grabs your attention as the sort of prerequisite. Everyone finds an entry path that'll hit them differently.
Yeah.
Everyone learns a specific way. So it'll give people time to adjust to the type of material for when it picks up every week.
Yep, definitely. So there's going to be the classes that we're doing every week. And then the supplemental resources and videos may not even be related to the class. It's going to be other things because I've covered, you know, type and authority and centers and all these things a million times. So I already have it recorded. And so that way we can kind of dive into some other stuff that I personally want to chat about and kind of bring in. But I want to provide you guys with additional background information and foundational stuff that you can do on your own too. Yeah. So yeah, thanks so much for being here. And we will talk to you next week.
Ciao.